Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Come back! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morency.
Rage all you want.
Let's roll.
All right, I'm getting fired up for this NHL draft from a betting perspective. As I stated, we're going to put Adam Fantilli in with some parlays and try to get a head start on this thing. We got George Kurtz kicking it with us. And George, one of the big players, the topic of conversation is the Mishkov kid from Russia. Plays for St. Petersburg, which actually I think that's actually Putin's team, to be honest. 5'10", 172-pounder, pure goal scorer, right? This kid is like, he's a phenom. Like, basically, if he was more eligible, like, long story short, this Mishkov kid, he's under contract through the 2025-2026 season in Russia. And they're not letting him out. Like, there's not, as you see, like, you know. It's not like we're friendly relations and stuff. You know what I mean? They don't play around with these KHL contracts. Thing is, he's only 18 years old. So how long would you be willing to wait for him? He could be like the next Pavel Bure, not as good as, you know what I'm saying, but there's also word that he's trying to position himself to get on the Washington Capitals, George, who are picking eighth. Right, because the Capitals are sort of the, you know, Team Russia in the National Hockey League right now. What do you make of Mishkov? Would you take him? If you were the Canadiens picking fifth overall, would you take him? I don't think they will, but would you?
I don't think they will either, but I would. Because you said they're not playing for the next couple of years anyway. You're playing a division that might be the best division in the NHL. So you're really waiting here. You're biding your time. You're rebuilding. By the time you get him, and I think you will get him in 2 to 3 years when his contract is over. I think the Islanders with Sorokin, they had to wait forever.
So today's 2024. This is the 2023-24 season. Next year is 2024-25. 25. So it's basically 4 years. But he is only 18, and he wouldn't play in the NHL anyways now, right? So
right. You have to wait a year or two anyway. I think if there are certain teams, and listen, if I'm playing to win now, then of course, no, you're not taking him. But a team like Montreal, I think it makes a lot of sense here. A lot of sense. You have to wait 4 years and be patient. He's going to go in the first round. Someone's going to take that chance. You're not going to get him, you know, if you're Montreal with the 37th pick. That's not happening.
No, he's going in the top. Like I said, he won't get past eight. Right? Teams are, listen, Anaheim aren't doing it. They got Fantilli. Columbus need players now, bro. Like, they can't wait 4 years. Like, they need players now. Montreal is kind of the only one you could argue, and I'm sure it comes up, that, you know what, we sell out every game anyways. It's not as if, though, like, if we, you know what I mean? Like, Columbus needs to win, George. You know what I mean? Columbus needs to say, hey, listen, this guy's really good. He's going to help us soon. Like, we're going to get good. And, like, they need players. Same with the San Jose Sharks. The Sharks aren't in a position. What's that?
They're not going to be good for a while either.
Who?
The Sharks.
The Sharks?
They're going to trade Carlson.
Yeah.
I think San Jose could be in play.
I think he's going to end up on the Capitals. I think he'll rush and deal himself into this thing. He'll just put it out there. He'll be difficult with teams or whatnot. I'm hearing grumblings. All right, hold on. Here we go, Kurt. The late night anger management class. It's level two. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people, the bustlers, and everybody else in between. We're kicking it. The quickest 180 minutes in sports talk radio. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates joining us on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM, channel 159. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morency. So we're going to miss you, Kurtz. When are you going to be back? In 2 weeks?
I miss.
sounds like he's gone already.
What? Did Matthias get rid of me already?
No, there you go. I was going to say, that was a pretty inauspicious way to go.
My God.
All right.
Trying to get, I mean, come on. I'm still, I'll be back on early on the 10th, right early, maybe around 8, 9 a.m. So I'll be back on Rage that night.
July 10th. It's a long time.
Yes, sir.
It's a long time.
We're leaving Florida about noon the day before. So she'll be home about, 7 a.m., 8 a.m., New York. Assuming that I'm
and
in death traffic.
For the record, George Kurtz is going to drive 18 hours from New York to Tampa Bay, Florida, and just stop for lunch once, right? That's the plan? You're only stopping once, which I find
insane. We'll have to stop for gas, and I'm sure there'll be pee breaks. But as far as food,
no hotels, no motels, no food.
No hotels, no. But the wife doesn't even want to stop at a hotel. We discussed it, but we've done this twice before. And we just want to get down there. Everybody wants to get down to the family. We're staying at my cousin's house. He's got a big, big house. He's got steaks on the grill ready for us when we get in. So, all good.
All right. So, post some pictures on Twitter for us, George. So, what do you got for us tomorrow? What are your final bets before you go and play Chevy Chase for a week and a half and a vacation?
Tomorrow's going to be a heavy day because it's the last day I know I can. I like a lot of the late games here. I'm going to take Zach Gallen over Tampa Bay and Bradley here, -118. I'm going that direction there. I told you I got Ohtani going. I'd love Matthias' all Anaheim, but I can't do that. But I'll have Ohtani going in a parlay along with Brian Wu of the Seattle Mariners there. So a lot of late game action. Early game, we're going to hit the under Atlanta and Minnesota.
I'm going to hammer that Anaheim special. Adam Fantilli to the Ducks and the Angels to win against the White Sox tomorrow with Ohtani. Stay safe, George. Drive safe.
Thank you very much, everybody. Good luck.
The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the...
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE, and I'm Jimmy Uso. Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Edge, then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
My name's Bobby, and I am an addict.
Hey, Bobby.
You know, you folks aren't here because you're gamblers. You are here because you are terrible gamblers.
Hey, Bobby.
These folks don't need to stop doing what they're doing. They just need to get better at it.
Let's roll. Thanks to George Kurtz for kicking with us. It's the Monday Night Meltdown. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. The pencil players, the hustlers, you, the people above stuff, and everybody else in between. Couple of interesting stories I wanted to get to. We got Chris Monter stepping up, and then we'll talk some basketball with Chris. We'll talk football with Rick Saratella. We'll get you caught up to date with the updated point spreads as far as the football is concerned. But if you recall, on Friday, we had a fun show on Friday, and if you remember, we were talking about cheating on Friday. And we were talking about the poker player. Right, there was accusations of a poker player that supposedly he's marking cards, and I said, "Well, you know, okay, you can accuse him." And I saw the video, and there's a video montage of numerous incidences in which he does look very suspicious, and he's doing things with the card, and you can tell he's sort of pushing his hand down hard on the card. And the thing is, he's also on national television all the time and playing in a World Series of Poker and all this stuff. So you got to believe that if he was cheating, it would have nailed him. But maybe he's that good at it, etc. And then I thought the conversation went on about how in Vegas, there's always people looking for an angle. And in sport, we talked about in the past, you recall if you didn't know about the story, but the dude won the World Chess Championships. He won one of the biggest chess championships in the world, which is hard to do, except this guy, like, basically played nearly a perfect game, and even like Kasparov and these guys can't do what this kid did. And there was accusations, basically, that he was cheating somehow. And Elon Musk actually fed into the theory that he was using anal beads, if you recall the story. That he was using anal beads, and somebody was relaying him the moves to make through, think like Altuve with the buzzer, except anally. Right, yeah. Like I said, people do whatever it takes. They couldn't prove it. They never nailed the guy. They've searched him and stuff. They actually did. They didn't do a strip search, but they did like a metal detector on his ass and stuff the next time he played. And, you know, whatever. So you can't make this one up. So, you know, Formula E. Listen, I'm a Formula One guy, but Formula E, it's the electric cars. Right. So it's, you know, the formula sort of, you know, Formula One racing style cars, but electric, no fuel. It's pretty big. Right. It's a pretty big circuit and stuff. But during the Formula E qualifying round in Portland, Team Penske, you're not Penske material. Team Penske got fined for installing an RFID scanner at the entrance to the pit, which FIA steward said could collect data from other race cars and give them an advantage. These Formula E cars have, like, microchips in their tires. Blah, blah, blah. So anyways, they have these chips in their tires. And it relays to the teams in the garage. It relays to the teams, like, the damage to the tires, like, you know what I mean, and the status of the car. Team Penske installed a scanner that allowed them to read the data of all their competitors. It's pretty slick. Thing is, they only got fined 25,000 euros for this, so it's like, all right. They were hit with a pit lane start penalty as well. Yeah, okay. The FIA steward's explanation for the penalty was provided to The Verge. The email. The stewards were advised that the technical delegate that the competitor installed an RFID scanning equipment in the pit lane entry in the morning that was able to collect live data from all cars. Firstly, it's forbidden in general for competitors to install or place any equipment in the pit lane. Secondly, the collection of data by this method gives a competitor a lot of information, which is a huge and unfair advantage. Taking all the circumstances, the stewards feel that giving a penalty is appropriate. Appropriate? What, $25,000 for installing? You're spying on every car. So, hey, Bill Belichick's not the only one. Like we said, man. Like, people, it's a cheating world that we're in. And I'm just surprised that a Penske team would do this. I would expect more from Penske. As I stated, you're not Penske. You should be aware that Penske offered me a position. You're not Penske material. This story was like, what? Well, Formula E cheating? What? You can bet on this stuff too, right? So anything you can bet on. Like we talked about the other day. This is our whole point, man. Like, you know, like where people are always going to be looking for an edge, even in the modern era. The problem is it's harder to get away with anything nowadays. You're not going to get away with anything nowadays. Everything is analyzed after the fact. Everything's on camera. There's computer. Everything's data. Oh, we can check the black box and see you guys can check their data. And I'm telling you, man, this goes back to remember when the Saints won the Super Bowl? Remember after the fact? So there was the bounty gate and all that type of stuff. They didn't really talk about it too much, but it was basically accused, and it came up that the Saints had like some. They basically the gist of it is that the Saints could hear other people's play calls. That they had stuff installed in the building where they could receive and hear. You know what I mean? When you see the guys up at the booth, blue 17, and they call it down, that the Saints could hear it. But it's sort of like the Astros. They would have to hear it and then relay it very quickly. And it was brought up, right? Saratella actually brought it up. If you watch, like, the USFL and the XFL, you know what play they're calling, right? The cameras are like, they go into the huddle and they you hear everything. And then you'll even hear the announcer sometimes goes, oh, that play means they're going to be going jet sweep this or that. You know, like, you know, you're not supposed to be listening to stuff, but okay. The Houston Astros also supposed to weren't supposed to set up cameras everywhere and bang on garbage cans, but they did, right? People are always going to look for an edge. And it was just funny that we were just talking about this, and then boom, I saw this story about the Formula E over the weekend from Portland. And speaking of Formula, forget about Formula E, Formula One, baby. Formula One is back this week after a week off. They're back in Europe right now. They're going through a European swing before they come back to North America again. It's the Austrian Grand Prix. Max Verstappen right now. You know what I'm going to do, actually? I don't have a choice, but we're going to have to wait. We're going to have to wait until Sunday for this, but Adam Fantilli to be the second pick of the draft and Max Verstappen to win the Austrian Grand Prix if you're looking to bet. It's to the point now, though, with the Formula One that Verstappen is so dominant. You need to either pick the exacta, like, okay, who's going to come in second and third, which we actually did successfully in the last race, and or you just need to straight out parlay him with other people, right, with other sports, which I don't have a problem with. Like I said, what are the odds of that? So Adam Fantilli, I'm telling you guys, Adam Fantilli is a slam dunk. Now, I feel like adding for, as it is now, Adam Fantilli, so the NHL draft is Wednesday night.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Like, Adam Fantilli is a slam dunk to be the second pick. He's minus 450. If you parlay him, Ohtani and Kershaw are both on the hill here tomorrow, too. It's almost like this is the all-LA special, which is, you know, it's not going to work. Anaheim, and the Dodgers, so to speak. That's plus 143. It just, you know, it almost feels like a trap. Like, is Kershaw or is Ohtani? Which one is that trap?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
They're what we thought they were. We played them in preseason. Who the hell takes a third game in a preseason like us? Boom. We played them in the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Oh, yeah. Late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. So we're just talking about this Formula E mini scandal. Formula E is smart because if you look at, like, the future of the world and stuff, look at football, right? With, you know, people don't like tackling and, you know, let's be real. Like, a lot of cities don't want car racing in their city because of the environment and all that. Oh, the pollution and the noise and what about the animals and blah, blah, and it leaves behind, like, the emissions and all that type of stuff. And Formula One deals a lot in Europe, and Europe is, they take that stuff seriously. Right, like they really do. So, like, Formula One's not dumb. They're rich, but, you know, you're kind of dealing in fuel and stuff that people don't like. Right? So, like, in the future, Formula E are smart because they already have a head start on this and it'll just continue to get bigger and bigger. It's already big, but Formula One is just sexier. But Formula One does spend a lot of money. I was just reading just by chance yesterday. They actually just won an award. I know it was ironic, and they even said, we know this is ironic. But Formula One actually just won an award from, like, the European Environmental whatever board or something, because they actually said, you know what, F1 actually is, it's not just lip service. Bernie Ecclestone before, like, basically told him to suck it, right? He was like a crazy dude, Ecclestone, if you remember. They have a much more sort of softer, like, type of deal now, right? They understand, like, yeah, listen. Because honestly, if you think about it, like a business, you know, you'd think, man, eventually the, you know, government's going to turn on you, right? I mean, you can't buy menthol cigarettes anymore. In the state of California, California's not alone, man. Like, Skittles could be banned next. Which, you know, it's funny because they're trying to save people's lives with this stuff, but people are going to flip, right? You can't tell me not to eat Skittles. I'm blowing people's minds. They're like, what the hell is this guy talking about? I'm telling you. There's some sort of chemical in Skittles that is, like, really bad that gives people things, allegedly. I like Skittles, personally. And I put worse things in my body than Skittles over the years. But I'm telling you, Skittles could be banned. I know this is random, but Skittles could be banned. Like, I'm just right now, I'm seeing, I think they're going to be banned in England, actually. Here it is. California Assembly passes bill that will ban the sale of Skittles. As I stated, they're just trying to help people, but at the same point in time, this is the type of stuff that people are like, you know, like, really? Let me have a bag of Skittles and F off. Matthias, do you want the California Assembly telling you can't eat Skittles? Probably not, right? You're like, if I want to eat Skittles, I'll eat Skittles.
Absolutely, Gabe. My choice.
You know what it is? It's a red dye. It's called red dye number three. Red dye number three. That's what, so I guess there's, like I said, it's very dangerous. There's a chemical in red dye number three, commonly listed as red number three in ingredients on food packaging. Can cause harm to reproductive immune systems, behavioral issues in children, and increase cancer risk in animals after being tested. Hey, listen, like I said, I'm not going to argue any of this stuff. People get, like, cancer at a way more alarming, like, rate now. Why is that? Obviously, everything in our products is giving it to us. I saw a thing once, like, people in Cuba, like, there's barely any cancer in Cuba. Because they don't have, like, all the same type of products. They're not exposed to the same, you know what I mean? To the same, you know, commercial nirvana that we are. So, yeah, I just wanted to, so if you're thinking I'm crazy, no, I'm on top of everything. They're coming for your Skittles, now they're going to say. Now they're coming for my Skittles, man.
Somebody should warn Marshawn Lynch. He's screwed.
Yeah, he's another one that's put worse things in his body than Skittles. He's all right. California shouldn't have to worry about the food that they buy, blah, blah, blah. There shouldn't be, you know, dangerous additives and toxic chemicals. Not just California. Like I said, I think the United Kingdom just banned it, the same type of thing. It's the world that we're in here right now, man. Everything's bad for you. So, yeah, just quickly, I want to say that, though, about Formula One. They got some award, and they're actually going to be net zero by 2030. As far as their emissions are concerned and all that. Anyway, it'd be cheaper for them. And it's a good segue into this Ryan Reynolds. So Ryan Reynolds is everywhere. He's one of those dudes, sort of like baseball fans' parents and friends, almost annoying now. Are you sick of Ryan Reynolds yet? And the Wrexham thing? It's like, all right. They did well, okay. But the guy's on fire. He tried to buy the Ottawa Senators. He fell short, but he just bought 24%. His team, Ryan Reynolds and his investor group, just bought 24% of Team Alpine in the Formula One circuit, actually. They valued Team Alpine's worth of $900 million. He paid $218 million for, like, 24% of the team. I'm a big Formula One guy, and it's obviously a massively successful operation, Formula One. I don't know if it's the best investment, like, I put it this way, like, BMW couldn't keep up. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you drop $218 million and you buy, like, you know, you're better off in my own, listen, this guy's smarter than I am, but I'm just stating, If you have $218 million, you try to buy the Senators, but you don't really have the money. You know, you're going to borrow this and that. So essentially, let's say you had a couple of $100 million to throw at a sports franchise. To me, you would have been better off trying to buy into an existing team, right? Like, you know, like figure out some owner in the NHL that's looking for a pop here. And, hey, Ryan Reynolds is a co-owner now, right? Like, you would have been able to get in, and you would have made more money. Where I'm going with this is Formula One is a cash cow, but not for Team Alpine, it isn't. Like, you know what I mean? You've got to sell sponsorships and stuff. And you've got to compete. Like, Mercedes can't compete with Red Bull right now. Ferrari can't compete. So how the hell are you going to compete? So, and if you don't compete, it's not like everyone's going to want to be on your car, right? Like, so it's just sort of this, when I saw that, I'm like, whoa, okay. But it costs a lot of money, man, to run a Formula One team. And now you're on hook for 25% of it. It's almost like buying a horse on a bigger scale, Formula One. It's like, yeah, it works for like the king of kings, but you need a lot of money, man, to be running this thing. And it's like every year, and then it goes up and this and that. It used to be $300-400 million, but they capped how much teams can spend now. There's no salary cap, though, on the drivers. So that's another thing, too, right? So, like, you're at the mercy. Like, Max Verstappen's making $25 million a year. Hamilton's making more, right? Alonso and stuff. I think Max making a little less, actually. Alonso's making 25. Hamilton's making more. Hamilton's making, like, 38 or something like that. But that's a lot of money. Like I said, it's not like you buy a team. You know what I mean? You buy a sports team in the NFL, the NBA, the NHL, whatever. There's a salary cap, and, like, there's this sort of, you know what I mean? It just sort of flows. And you know, yeah, we're going to make money every year. We're printing money here, right? We sell the tickets. We make money. We get the TV right deal because we're in the league. We make money. F1, like I said, man, like, the big, even these big companies, like, panic. It's the research and development, man. And, no, we need this. Like, you know, our driver smashed the car. Those cars are expensive, right? Yeah. You know what? Buddy put it into the wall in practice. Yeah, well, that's $480,000 damage. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and you get points. It's like, you know, horse racing. You get points, but you better win. You better get points. You better get checks. Like, you got to finish. You got to make money. It's like NASCAR, right? Like, not everybody that's driving in a NASCAR is, like, rich. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of these guys in NASCAR are thinking, man, if I don't start winning some races and, like, finishing higher, my sponsors are going to drop me. And or I have crappy sponsors that I don't make any money from, and I'm barely getting by as it is. And if I smash my car again, I'm in a lot of trouble, right? And my team is going to fire me, right? Like, it's not like some, oh, hey, like, this is just, like, we're printing money because we own an F1 team. It's like, no, you got to fund that team, man. F1 ain't paying for your car, man. Like, you know what I mean? They're not paying for your research and development, man. Like, it's like, okay. Like I said, he's got money. I'm just stating that that's, you know, it's an industry, Formula One, that has seen teams come and go. And big-time money teams and big-time car people have said, you know, we're out. Like, this is, we can't spend, like, $250 million to finish in 15th place every week. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's just, the math doesn't work for us. It's not, and we don't sell enough cars because of it. You got to win, right? Like, Red Bull's winning, and, like, but the F1, there's always one team that dominates all the time. Before, it was Schumacher and Ferrari. And then it was Lewis Hamilton, right? Right, and now it's Max Verstappen. There's usually someone that's just dominant, and they kill it, and everyone else is like, okay. But I will tell you what, Ryan Reynolds is rocking right now. He bought a cell phone company.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
In Canada, it sold for $1.3 billion. His movies are hot. Everything he touches turns to gold. So I don't know. Maybe Team Alpine is going to win the Formula One championship now. What the hell do I know?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morency. We're breaking it down. Sirius XM Channel 159 Sports Grid Radio Networks. Let's bring in Chris Montour right now. CollegeBasketballNews.com in the house. Chris, it's always a pleasure, my man. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us.
Great to be back with you.
It's always a pleasure, Chris. So listen, the NBA draft has come and gone, and people are already looking forward. Well, we have the NHL draft in a couple of days, but people are already looking forward to next year's NBA draft, and we're seeing a trend right now in the NBA, obviously with the European influx, the international influx, but the G League really is having an impact, a massive impact, and it has to have a negative impact that all these good college basketball players that could be playing college basketball are deciding to play in the G League instead, and they're also, they're being shown that, you know what, if I play in the G League and I don't play at Duke or at Michigan on national television every week, NBA general managers and scouts don't care. And in fact, they look very highly at players' development in the G League. What's your take on the development right now in which college basketball players are kind of getting pushed aside?
Yeah, it just shows you the league and the draft is always changing. I remember I used to do a newsletter before the internet and mail it out to a couple thousand subscribers. In 1990, I went to the Orlando Classic. It was a camp for the top seniors. They had a kid from Minnesota, if you remember, Willie Burton.
Yep.
Playing the NBA was the ninth pick that year. I was looking back at the 1990 draft because I started the newsletter the following year. In 1990, out of 27 first-round picks, how many do you think were seniors? What would your guess be?
Wow. 25 of them?
25, exactly, yes.
Wow.
Dennis Scott.
Not a bad guess,
huh?
Not bad, but yeah, I got where you were going with it, yeah.
But it just shows you, and then, of course, in 1994, I went to the Nike All-American Camp for the first time, and it was held in Chicago, in Deerfield, Illinois, where the Chicago Bulls practice, and it was not open to the coaches at the time. It was just basically media people and families, and I sat by this woman every day, started chatting and got to know each other. It was Kevin Garnett's mom. And she asked me what I did, and I said I was a writer. She goes, oh, I'd love to be a writer. And I said, I bet you'd have some interesting stories to tell. And she goes, yeah, you wouldn't believe half of them. And, of course, he became the first player to jump right from high school to the NBA in over 20 years. And then you had the foreign explosion. And then you had the one-and-dones with Kevin Garnett, LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, Dwight Howard, et cetera. And now we had the G League explosion. So, yeah, the draft has changed so much. And, you know, now from going from 25 out of 27 seniors in 1990, now, you know, you can count the seniors on one hand, you know, and sometimes just one or two fingers. So if the G League is going to be successful, and obviously we saw the high school players, to be honest, I thought that rule shouldn't have been changed because you saw, you know, some great players, Garnett, James, Bryant, Jermaine O'Neal, Dwight Howard, et cetera. And now if a Scoot Henderson, a Jalen Green, some of these G League players is successful, you're going to see more and more players who, rather than go to college for 1 year, or even Henderson who went for 2 years in the G League, are going to make that jump as well. So you're right. If you're an NBA scout, you know you're going to have to look everywhere for players, Division III, Division II, Division I, foreign players, G League, wherever, to find these players. And to be honest, if you're a good player, somebody's going to find you.
And also, you don't even have to be drafted. Right. That's the whole thing. Yeah, it's nice to be drafted and you get, you know, you're on the stage and all that, but doesn't mean anything after the fact. Right. It doesn't mean anything.
Definitely.
Fred Van Fleet. Right. Fred Van Fleet's an undrafted player. The guy's a champion. He's an all-star and he's made over $100 million in his career and he's getting about to make more money right now as an undrafted player. I've always brought it up. I know it sounds cliche, but look at Jokic, man. Jokic was taken 41st overall during a Taco Bell commercial. They weren't even live on TV when they
right.
drafted him.
I mean,
him.
You look at Miami. Miami had Duncan Robinson. They had, you know, a lot of players. Max Strus, you know, Gabe Vincent were undrafted. You go back in the day.
Yeah.
Ben Wallace was one of the best shot blockers, rebounders in the league for a long time. Brad Miller was an undrafted player. John Starch for the Knicks. David Wesley, you know, was a 13-point-a-game scorer. You know, it doesn't really matter, like you said, where you're drafted. In fact, if I'm a player, if I'm not drafted in the top 45 picks, I'd almost rather not be drafted, because then you can kind of pick and choose, find a team that maybe needs you, doesn't have a ton of guaranteed contracts, and try and make the league that year that way. And if not, you've seen a lot of players, like Gabe Benson's a great example, went down and played in the G League, played well there, and eventually got his chance. So to me, I always feel like, to be honest, there's more good players than there are jobs in the NBA. They've expanded the rosters to 15, but there's still plenty of good players. And obviously we're going to hear talk about expansion, possibly Seattle, maybe Kansas City, Vegas obviously makes a ton of sense. You know, there's plenty of talent, whether it be international or some playing in America, whether it be college, G League, or you know, wherever, that you can have enough players. So you're right. It's just getting the right opportunity at the right time.
I want to talk about Hunter Dickinson a little bit. He was heavily criticized, and it's interesting. There's an article on SI.com's Fan Nation about Michigan's draft and the players entering the draft validating Hunter Dickinson leaving. Now, I'm not so sure he left because he knew or he thought that players are going to leave for the NBA. I think he's been pretty clear about the NIL stuff and about not making any money playing at Michigan, or at least very little. I believe he said he made $10,000 playing for Michigan last year. But it sort of does validate it. And also what it tells me, too, what it shows is it's sort of like the Kentucky syndrome right now, right? Like, if you're a college program, like Calipari's proud of sending kids to the NBA, and I totally get it, and changing young men's lives. I totally get that. But you know as well as I do, boosters in Kentucky don't care, bro, right? They're tired of it. It's like, yeah, good. You recruit these kids, and they all make $200 million, $300 million in their lives after, and we never win any games, right? And you look at Michigan right now, and you could have a feather in the cap type of thing. It's like, yeah, well, look, you know, we had two players taken in the first 15 picks of the draft or whatever. Yet, if you look back on the Michigan Wolverines last year, they weren't a very good basketball team. So where I'm going with this is there's a difference between having NBA talent and being a good college basketball team, Chris, and I think that's something that we're going to see moving forward. Teams, and we already saw it now a little bit, teams that stick together, those senior-laden teams, yeah, maybe we don't have guys that are good enough to go to the NBA, but we're good enough to win a national championship right now. I'm going to be interested to see where this goes, but what are your thoughts on that, the Hunter Dickinson stuff and the Michigan Wolverines, you know, pumping out NBA draft talent, but they suck on the court, bro. They're not winning.
Right. I mean, you look at Kentucky, two of the last 7 years, they haven't made the NCAA tournament. They've had more players drafted than any program the last 10 years. And they did win one national championship and had the one team that was undefeated before losing to Wisconsin in the Final Four. But you're right, fans are fickle, and you lose to teams that maybe you shouldn't lose to in the NCAA tournament, and that's going to come up. You know, obviously, if you're a kid, you want probably three things if you're looking at a school nowadays. NIL money, playing in the NCAA tournament, and hopefully having the opportunity to play in the NBA or, worst case, professionally overseas. So, obviously, Kentucky, you know, marks some of those boxes for players, but you're right. I always wonder if you can really build something sustainable, you know, when you're bringing in five, six top recruits every year, McDonald's All-Americans, because those players, even before they step on the campus of Lexington, they've already made up their mind that they're a top 10 player. They're probably just going to be there for the 1 year. So even if they don't have a great year,
exactly,
you know, they're probably either going to transfer or they're going to enter the draft, because they had their mindset. You know, and obviously you saw that with Michigan, like you said. Obviously, when you have Howard and Kobe being drafted in the top 15, you're thinking, geez, a program that had two top picks, this is a team that probably should have done some damage in the tournament, and yet they didn't even make the tournament. So you're right, it's going to be something that schools are going to look at. And we saw this year, you know, San Diego State, you know, isn't considered a power in college basketball, but they're always a consistent team out in the Mountain West, and who knows, maybe someday in the Pac-12. But, you know, we've seen teams that maybe don't fit the stereotype. You know, Florida Atlantic isn't a school we think of being a great basketball program, yet this year they were able to make it to the Final Four, and maybe having some of those players who had a little bit more experience had played together, maybe that pays off more sometimes than individual talent.
Chris Monter kicking it with us. Chris, before we get you out of here, another theme for the draft is college big men. So we were talking about Hunter Dickinson. Man, I thought Sonogo was a great player. Like, I think Sonogo can contribute to an NBA team. You look at Drew Timmy, the guy's a first-team All-American, does it all, does all this. NBA doesn't care, bro, do they? Right? They look at Hunter Dickinson, right? They're like, yeah, whatever, dude. You can give you, you got a lot of heart, good for you. They just draft on athletic ability alone. But it is crazy. Tshiebwe, Sanogo, Drew Timmy, none of them got drafted.
Yeah, and Zach Eadie, who was the National Player of the Year, one of the main reasons he went back was he wasn't very sure of his draft status, and I think there was some NIL money that made him think, hey, why not just go back for another year? We lost to a number 16 seed. I'm sure he wants to try and get farther in the NCAA tournament. But you're right, it shows you how the game has changed, and it's funny because Jokic, you know, is such a unique player, but it showed you how important a big man is. Obviously, there aren't many Jokic's in the whole world, and that's why he's such a spectacular player, because of his ability to pass, can shoot from outside, can play inside if he needs to. But you're right, the game has so much changed, you know, from, you know, 20, 30 years ago when almost every team had a quality center. Now, you know, a lot of teams, you know, play five out, you know, relying on the three-point shot. Maybe the fact that Jokic was successful, maybe the fact that you had a team in Denver that had kind of a bigger lineup with Porter, was a bigger small forward. Gordon's a very quality power forward. Maybe teams might change a little bit, going to a little bit bigger. You know, the reason Golden State was successful with small ball is they had Curry and Thompson, two of the best shooters maybe ever, and maybe the best shooting backcourt ever in league history. Teams wanted to try and copy that, but you can't copy that when you don't have Curry and Thompson. So maybe the fact that Denver went with a little more size, maybe you'll see some of those players getting some looks. But you're right, it's sad when you look at, you know, Drew Timmy was, you know, arguably one of the best. You know, look at his stats and pile them up with anybody else in a long time. You know, he's put up better numbers than a lot of players, you know, who were very, very high picks. And you mentioned the Connecticut big man and the Kentucky big man who was the Wooden Award player last year, and Zach Eadie and Hunter Dickinson. You know, some of these players, you know, despite having great college careers, might not make it in the NBA just because the game has changed so much.
But you know what? There'll be a spot for them. You know, like you said, there's a lot of basketball teams in the world now. So
there's, yeah, definitely.
There's, you know, you got there's a lot of teams in Europe, and Dickinson will make money playing basketball somewhere. So before we get you out of here, we got about a minute and a half left here. Who did you like? What did you think of the draft? Who was a player? You've seen all these kids coming out of high school, at least most of them. Which was a player that you liked? That you said, you know what? This guy's going to be a really good NBA player that's kind of flying under the radar that people aren't talking about after the draft.
Well, obviously, the Spurs did a great job, you know, with the number one pick, Victor Wembanyama. You know, I think will be a transitional type player. But I think some of the other teams, you know, Houston, you know, I've been kind of hard on them the last couple of years, you know, maybe going too young, kind of tanking games. But I think getting two players like Amen Thompson and Cam Whitworth, two young players, but they can kind of build with those two. I thought Utah did a great job as well, getting some quality. I think Keontae George is an outstanding shooter, very athletic. Taylor Hendricks, a 6'9", forward who can shoot the ball well. And I thought Denver, despite not having a very, very high pick, but they know that they probably going to have their starting five back. They only really used eight guys in the playoffs, so they could use some more help off the bench. So they drafted three players or acquired them via trade on draft night, and Julian Strother from Gonzaga. And then they got two players in the second round who I think will help them, Hunter Tyson out of Clemson. So I think they got some players who have, you know, played a lot of basketball, five-year guys who are going to be maybe ready to step in a little bit quicker than maybe a freshman or a one-and-done type player. So I think they did a very good job. I also like what Portland was able to do. I think, you know, the question is what happens with Lillard, but I think getting Scoot Henderson, I think, was a good addition. And then Chris Murray, whose brother, Keegan Murray, twin brother, was all rookie selection. He's not. I think Chris is a little bit below Keegan in terms of talent, a little bit smaller, but I think he's a player who could step in pretty quickly as well. Again, a player who played three and 4 years of college, so I think he's going to step in a little more quickly than some of these 18, 19-year-olds.
Chris
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
After college basketball news, Chris, it's always a pleasure. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us.
Great talking again.
The late night anchor match McCross continues. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Quickest 100 minutes of sports talk radio continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. Thanks to Chris Montre, College Basketball News, for kicking it with us. We were just talking about the NBA draft, and the news of the day today is Victor Wembanyama. Good news, bad news. Good news is he's playing in the Summer League, which I don't know how much he's going to play in the Summer League. Remember last year, Paolo Banchero played in the Summer League? And he played like two games type of thing, and he looked really good, and everybody got excited, and then they shut him down. I don't know. Like, I can't imagine they're going to play him every game in the Summer League, but he's playing in the Summer League. He will not be playing for France in the FIBA World Cup, which Canada finally catches a break because they were in kind of a difficult situation having to play against France, who are already good as it is. So France are already a load to deal with. So it makes it a little bit, softens the blow a little bit with Wembanyama being out. So Wembanyama is not going to be playing in the FIBA World Cup. This tournament's going to be lit, man. Right? This is to get into the Olympics. So teams are going to be bringing it. The United States are in because they're the defending gold medal champions. But Canada hasn't made the Olympics in like forever. In basketball, despite all these big-time draft picks, they've never really played together. The last time, they fell just short from making it to Tokyo. So the pressure is on, but Canada have a very good roster. We're waiting for the U.S. Official sort of, you know, the camp is sort of out there, but the Celtic players, I think some of them are going to back out, actually, so... Well, as soon as the rosters are out and everything is sorted, it's starting to come together a little bit right now. But now you get into players, are they under contract or not, this or that. Another interesting thing is Wembanyama told the Spurs he doesn't want to be load managed, that he wants to play in all 82 games. And supposedly they said okay, yet I think they're lying.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.